Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back guys to a brand new video where today we're here back once more with Jamie183 for the Knowing Wheel F1 2022 podcast. Yes, we've finally come up with a name for it. We're only, what, 35, 36 episodes deep at this point?
Getting on for a year in terms of real time.
It's, yeah, pretty much been a year since, well, no, it hasn't, it's been 9 months since the last podcast, Jamie. We've done better than that.
February, was it March?
Okay. I'm looking at the first podcast right now. It was the 22nd of March last year.
Okay.
Well, this year, technically, still at the moment. But yeah, we've finally got a name for the podcast. So let us know down in the comments below how much you hate it, because I'm sure people will be disappointed with that one. But before we get into it, though, Jamie, did you have a nice Christmas, mate?
Yeah, it was great. I stayed inside all day and then went home in the evening on Christmas Day because I had COVID. But now I don't. Well, I sort of don't. But when I do test, it still comes back with a faint line, but we ignore it, so it's all good.
So you've still got COVID then?
So I've got long COVID, but I don't have to isolate, so it's all good.
This is wonderful, wonderful early news for podcast viewers. But
yeah.
Yeah, obviously, if you missed out last week's podcast where we went back... What did we do last week, Jamie? We went through our end-of-year awards, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
To finish off the season. Definitely recommend going back and checking that one out. We went through who was our driver of the year, our best race win of the year, our best non-race win performance of the year, plenty of other cool stuff. But today we start beefing with each other. We are going to hark back to the very first podcast we did. We already did one of these at mid-season, and we're going to go back again and react to and review our 2021 pre-season Constructors' Championship predictions. We thought trying to do all 20 drivers was going to be a bit too difficult. Maybe this year around, though, we'll do it. That could be very, very good fun. Sort of probably late February, early March, you know, when sort of the real F1 season is getting back into the swing of things. But, Jamie, can you remember your predictions for the year?
I remember most of them, I think. Certainly, it was quite obvious after pre-season testing, we had, like, different groups that were going to be together. So I think in terms of that, it was quite an easy year to predict.
Yes,
in terms of the areas where each team were going to be. I don't think I got many right, though. I was often one off.
Yes.
From what I remember.
Yeah, so
we'll see.
Like I said, obviously, it was probably one of the easier years to try and get predictions right, I would have thought. I'll be quite impressed if we both get more right next year than this year, if we do one before pre-season testing and everything like that. But of course, subtle changes to the regulations obviously made things very, very difficult to try and predict. Made it very, very easy, even, I should say, to try and predict ready for the new year. But yeah, Jamie, let's go through then. Out of 10, let's start with... Do we start at the bottom or do we start with the top?
Start at the bottom.
Who do you believe you predicted to finish 10th place?
Surely I put Haas. I think we both put Haas.
You did not put Haas.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not. We both put Haas.
Okay. That was the most obvious thing all season, that Haas were going to come last.
Yes, yeah. I mean, two rookies. It was never going to be a particularly easy year for Haas, of course. They'd already said pre-season that they hadn't put any sort of development into the car. I mean, it was
good.
And their
car was already rubbish the year before.
Exactly. It was pretty much a tin pot by the end of last year. It was good in the sense of us... Haas fans, I suppose. I've always liked to see Haas do well a bit less this year. Obviously,
I'm not huge fans of them.
Yeah, I know you're not, but I got a signed hat somewhere still, so I'm all up the boys. That's all it takes to buy my loyalty in Formula One is a signed hat. And of course, follow me on Twitter. If Formula One teams want me to support them next year, if you want a lot of free support in this podcast, hit me up on Twitter. Give me a follow, and I'll be all over you, ready for next year. But yeah, Haas, though, certainly weren't trying to hype up expectations pre-season, and safe to say by turn three of the race, any kind of hope anyone had left was pretty much eroded, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was an absolute dog of a car, so it's no surprise, really, that they did come last. And I think they could really be a surprise package next year. I don't think the drivers are particularly up to very much, but in terms of, they've basically written off 2 years focusing on the new regs, so that's probably longer than most other teams have. Obviously, they're a small team.
Yeah.
But still... they could make a big jump next year, and it'd be quite cool if they do, but I would be quite surprised as well.
Yeah, I can't see us getting to Abu Dhabi and someone going, and Mick Schumacher wins his fourth Formula One race of the year just yet. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see about that. And I think, yeah, the most important thing there, like you've touched upon, is the fact neither of their drivers fill us with a huge amount of confidence either, do they?
No. I think the F2 grids that they did all right on, it was quite a weak field.
Yeah, I mean, you had Guan Yu Zhou and no Oscar Piastri, and that says everything you need to know.
Well, Zhou's going to beat Bottas next year, so it's
kind of... behave.
Take back the title.
Oh, dearie me. Dearie me. But yeah, no, so I mean, obviously Haas, it'll certainly be intriguing to see what they can do next year. But I'll be honest, I haven't got massively high hopes still. I think we both sort of said, haven't we, before, that they're probably going to be out of the sport by 2026. But
if next year fails, then yeah,
yes,
they will be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So there we go. We're one apiece early on then. Next up, Jamie, P9. Who did you predict?
I think I put Williams below Alfa Romeo.
You are absolutely correct. We both put Williams below Alfa Romeo, so that is
a
nil
fair, they should have... Alfa Romeo had the car to beat Williams this season.
Most of the year, yeah.
Yeah, just Williams got a very, obviously, a hot streak in, like, August, was it? Or the...
Well, Hungary, wasn't it? It was just before the summer break, yeah.
Where they scored, like, well, obviously, two lost double points, quite luckily, in both occasions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Williams was probably... especially in qualifying, was generally quite good, but Alfa Romeo was quite good in qualifying as well. But then, like, yeah, I think Alfa threw away many chances with poor strategies or just messing up races when they were on good ones, or like the races where mental stuff happened, like in Imola, or trying to think of some others, like in Belgium or Hungary. They were just so poor.
There's
opportunities there, and then that's where Williams picked up the points, and especially Hungary.
They had a couple of decent races towards the end of the year as well, didn't they? Of course,
yeah,
Mexico, Kimi scored 4 points. That Giovinazzi probably should have scored that weekend as well. But I mean, when you look at the gap between Williams and Mercedes, Williams and Alfa Romeo, even 10 points at the end of the year. When you're talking sort of 20 points, is quite a big gap. But that could have easily been recovered, had a few more races. They'd sort of, like, Giovinazzi probably lost a good sort of 5 or 6 points here or there from like a point or two here. You know, Zandvoort was probably a good example of that. I don't think he scored points there when he started inside the top 10. Monza as well was another really good example of that, where he got he crashed himself out on that one. Just those two races could have made the difference between Williams and Alfa Romeo. But Alfa Romeo, again, I know you're going into next season with a lot of confidence behind them. Rather naively or not, that is left to be decided. But
I think they'll beat Williams next year.
Do you?
They've got better drivers than Williams, for sure. That's not even me being biased.
Yeah, no, worryingly. They're probably not much in it. I mean, you've got 2 money frauds and then 2 just normal frauds, don't you?
Wow. The slander of Guan Yu Zhou is starting already. We're not even into 2022.
It started months back, mate.
Yeah, it did, to be fair. No, I think Bottas will do well. He was obviously...
I'm going to clip that.
I think he'll do all right. I'm not going to say he's going to get podiums or what, but it would do better than Raikkonen has been doing, for sure. So,
I don't think he's going to be much better than Raikkonen, I'll be honest.
We have faith in Alfa Romeo. We like Sauber. I've always liked Sauber, to be fair.
I mean, we all like Fred Vasseur.
Yeah.
I want to see him in the car.
Yeah. But yeah, we hope. I also found out one of my friends who I play Rocket League with went to school with Guan Yu Zhou this week, so that's quite fun. That's a fun fact.
That is certainly a fact. I debate how fun it is, but that is definitely a fact. Right, so there we go. Then we've both got nil pois there. We've already touched upon then P8 and P9. So yeah, currently we're 1-3 each. Our bottom three teams are all exactly the same. In fact, there was only one difference between us over the course of the entire thing. Yeah, there was only 2 teams that were swapped around, which I think we both already know as well. Yeah. Then, so let's jump up. Then, obviously, we've gone through 10th Haas. We both put Williams in 9th, Alfa Romeo in 8th. Obviously, we've just touched upon. Anything to add about Williams for next year, Jamie? I suppose.
I think their trajectory was decent this year. Like, their car was clearly not a wheelbarrow, which it was 2020 and 2019. Really,
it was a wheelbarrow towards the end again.
Yeah, it was. It suddenly became awful again at the end of the season. But certainly that hot streak when Russell was doing Q2s and Q3s every week and stuff like that, it seemed to be promising. But then, yeah, I don't know, because it's always a hard one to read with Williams, really, because like they could nail new regs like they did back in 14, or they could just absolutely flop it like they didn't
this,
later on.
This is kind of the problem I have with that they nailed the 2014 regs. They didn't really nail. They just had a Mercedes power unit, didn't they? And this was obviously the complete downfall.
They beat Force India, to be fair, but then making a better car than Force India wasn't difficult at that point.
No, Force India was still not in a particularly great place at that point. No. I mean, wasn't it something mad? Like, let me see if I can try and find this.
What are you,
I'm trying to find. There was a comparison, but I can't remember which years it was. Of Williams car getting slower and slower.
It was 17, 18, 19.
When, it got slower each year when pretty much every other car got faster.
They did pretty well with new regs in 17. And Massa was obviously a decent driver. And then 18, it got slower. And then 19, it got slower again. Yeah. It's like, what?
And when everyone else was getting quicker, weren't they? 19 was a bit more hit or miss. But yeah, it was absolute insanity, wasn't it, down at Williams. Yeah. But
I don't think the drivers. I think Russell's a big loss.
I
think Albon is obviously not as good. I think everyone probably agrees with that. And Latifi is. He improved a little bit. He was obviously holding a bit of a candle to Russell towards the end, but I don't think he could be the team leader that Russell has been.
I think
they'll score points. Maybe, like, obviously it's super hard to tell in December before the season even starts, but I don't think they'll be quite as good without Russell.
No, exactly. Russell is a huge loss to him as well, isn't he? And I think Williams, like we said, have got that upset potential, but a bit like Haas or Alfa Romeo in my case, I just don't have a huge amount of faith in either of their drivers. I wonder if we might see a couple of races where, like, the cars clicking, Albon sort of in the groove as well, like we saw a couple of times in his Red Bull, like Abu Dhabi, his final race for Red Bull, where he was on the pace, and a couple of other rare occasions.
As well.
What's that, sorry?
Like, he was decent for Toro Rosso in his debut.
Yes,
half of the season, wasn't he?
Exactly. And he actually had a pretty good 2019 second half of the year, all things considered. But, yeah, Williams, obviously, they've decided to go with a Dams lineup from, like, 4 years ago, which is kind of insanity. But they really are an unknown, aren't they? If I ended up in a coma tomorrow and I woke up next Christmas, you could tell me Williams finished runner-up or Williams finished dead last with no points, and I believe you either way.
Yeah.
That's how insane Williams is.
Yeah. Next up, 7th. I don't have a clue if it's 7th. I would guess either Aston or Alpine, but I don't know.
You and obviously both of us, we both put Alpine here, and oh how wrong we were.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite surprising, because I guess we don't. I never had much faith in Renault, to be fair, having supported Hülkenberg for 3 years at them. But seventh is a bit harsh. I do think they were quite lucky to come fifth ahead of AlphaTauri, to be honest, in real life. I think we were all buying into the Aston Martin hype of them finishing third the year, or they should have finished third the year before, and then supposedly upgrading their lineup, even though Perez is actually better than Vettel.
We all knew this deep down.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the Aston Martin was so disappointing this year in terms of the car. It was just shocking. The drivers weren't horrendously bad. They had, like, between them a lot of good races, but the car was just not there at all.
Yeah, and I think this was the thing, wasn't it, with Aston Martin, is they had a car that was midfield potential, but it never really felt like the team didn't seem particularly inspiring. The drivers didn't seem particularly inspiring for the most part. Of course, you had Seba Hungary, when really he bottled the start and got lucky, and then Baku, where he got lucky because Lance had a puncture.
He was going to finish about sixth that race.
Yeah, it was
everything played into his hands.
It was kind of one of those seasons, wasn't it, where they probably could have lucked into like fifth or sixth. They had a lot of races gone their way, but they didn't really deserve to for any
obviously
reason.
That Alpine got 40 points at Hungary, and then like 30 or 35 at Qatar.
Yes,
so just those two races. Obviously, the Qatar was on merit, but Hungary definitely wasn't. And between those two races, they've immediately, basically, that's how they beat AlphaTauri, just by those very hot places. So I guess Aston Martin could have had the same thing. Had they, like, got lucky one weekend, say in Baku, I don't know, Perez and Hamilton crash at lap turn one on the restart or something, suddenly are looking really good. But yeah, it didn't quite happen for them. I'm sure they'll improve next year. I think that team has always done well. Like, they don't go terribly for too long.
No.
When they were very first starting as Force India and that.
Yes,
but They should bounce back. They were put a lot of infrastructure in before the price cap.
And this was the thing, wasn't it?
The money they want.
Lawrence Stroll has put a lot of money into that
Silverstone
team.
Silverstone facility is very good now.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what Aston Martin can do next year. Whether that means down the line, you know, they could be a team that looks towards German engineering for power units rather than Mercedes, which I know is a German company, but still very confusing. Yeah, whether it's going to be them or McLaren that really sort of try and stray away from Mercedes power is left to be decided. But yeah, so it's probably better if we just go through these three again, isn't it, all together? So we both went Alpine in seventh, which of course was wrong. AlphaTauri we both got right in sixth. Aston Martin, of course, we got wrong again in fifth place there. But like we said, you know, any of those three could have switched around at the season, you know, had things gone their way. On raw pace alone, I think you're right in saying AlphaTauri should have been fifth this year.
Yeah.
But again,
Gasly deserved to be.
Yes, but yeah. Then again, it doesn't really matter to AlphaTauri, does it?
No, not at all. They could finish 10th and be bleeding youngsters and they'd still be achieving their goals.
Exactly. It's just insanity.
It's a very weird team to be a part of as a manager, I imagine.
Well, I can't work out when you say that whether Franz Tost has got the best or worst job in the world.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter at all to him.
You must
be... The problem is you'll kind of have no power.
Yeah, you must be under exactly zero pressure. But also, you really want to win, surely.
And it's kind of what's the point of trying? Because, you know, as it stands, you're never beating Red Bull.
Well, you shouldn't be, otherwise you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you're literally, if you're too successful,
you've defeated
you're
your
screwed.
Yeah, so they're never going to win the championship, obviously. They're sort of there just for the big like one-off races, such as Italy in 2020, aren't they? Like,
or 2008.
Or 2008, the two race wins they've had as Toro Rosso / AlphaTauri. But yeah, it's a weird team to be a part of, but Gasly's doing very well. I feel like he's a bit of a placeholder. Like, he's sort of both being used as a placeholder because Gasly has nowhere better to go, and AlphaTauri have no one young to bring in to replace him.
No, exactly.
So there's no point.
And this is the thing, I read an article today talking, obviously, with Pierre, sort of saying, you know, 2023, I think, is going to be the year. Obviously, he'll look at where Red Bull are, I guess, as well, but he said, you know, Perez is signed for next year, but after that, I want talks with him.
Yeah, if he's not going to get into Red Bull in 2023, there's no point being AlphaTauri still.
No, exactly. I'm trying to just rack through my head where he could go.
I don't see him at Alpine with Ocon.
No, because that's Oscar Piastri's. Even though Alonso has now said he wants to do like another 3 years, and I'm just get away, old man. Go back to Dakar or something.
I think the Mercedes second role, it would suit him very well.
Can I see Mercedes getting
Russell
Gasly?
Can I
see that?
That'd be
a
good lineup.
I'm trying to. The problem is, yeah, there's nowhere really Gasly suits.
I can see him at Ferrari if Leclerc gets poached by Merck.
I can't see Merck wanting. Leclerc is a Ferrari mainstay. I'm just trying to think.
If he keeps losing to Sainz, though, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Could I see Gasly at McLaren?
Yeah, I could see him at McLaren actually. It's the sort of team will pick him up like they did with Sainz when he's just bored of being in Toro Rosso.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sainz has been all round the board, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's insane with Carlos Sainz. But yeah, perhaps that'll have to be a podcast for another day of going through where Piastri could go in Formula 1.
Piastri? He's a new one.
What's that?
You said Piastri then.
Oh, yeah, I'm abbreviating now.
Combination.
You know, got to try and save time
Piastri
on these.
Piastri and Gasly.
I meant Pierre Gasly more than anything, but Piastri.
Okay.
We're going with that now. Right. So, 10th correct, 9th wrong, 8th wrong, 7th wrong, 6th correct, 5th wrong, 4th and 3rd, Jamie. We went different here.
I can't remember which way around I put the. I know we both put Ferrari and McLaren. I think I probably put McLaren above Ferrari, and you didn't.
You're absolutely right, and that's where the tables turn.
So you're
going to
be
in this.
Brilliant.
I get 2 points right there, and you get 0. Yeah, I think I vaguely remember me saying something along the lines of I think McLaren should get P3 this year, but I can see Ferrari egging it. And that was kind of right.
Ferrari deserved P3.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
both
by the end of the year.
P3. But McLaren should have been so far ahead at one point and just weren't because of Ricciardo.
Exactly. Like, you look at McLaren and you think, what, they finished 48 and a half points behind. That could have easily come in basically 2 races.
Well, Lando was chilling in 3rd in the championship after, like, Silverstone.
Yeah.
And Ricciardo was about 12th. So, there's easily like 40 points in Ricciardo's first half of the season. Obviously, it took a while getting used to the car, but like,
that's incredible, isn't it?
Science was doing.
You've said there's 40 points there in Ricciardo's season. I can think of near enough 40 points from Lando's in two races, and that's Russia and Spa.
Yeah, Russia, he lost round 20, didn't he?
And could McLaren have challenged Red Bull? No.
Yeah, we're saying if things went perfectly, which obviously it's never going to go perfectly for any team. But yeah, there was plenty of missed opportunities. I think, yeah, Ricciardo, obviously his first half was very disappointing. He picked up a little bit.
For a couple of races.
Break. Well, he got like, what, five top five finishes in the second half of the season, I want to say?
He got
fifth places quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing was, Ricciardo started dipping at the same time McLaren did again. So it kind of hid his shame in the final few races. Yeah.
And obviously took out Bottas at Mexico, which was appreciated. So...
Yeah, for you, I suppose. I say that Hamilton got everything he could that weekend anyway. There was no way he was going to win that one. So I'll let that one slide. So, yeah, McLaren.
Were very good.
Ferrari were, I said, they. I think egging it is the wrong term, isn't it? They didn't egg P3, but it certainly should have been harder fought than it was.
Yeah, they were just very, very quiet. It was almost the opposite of what Ferrari usually like, being really flamboyant and rubbish. They were just... They just actually went about their business very quietly and successfully.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
Fair play.
And I think it was McLaren making all the headlines this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, Leclerc had those two pole positions, both caused by red flags. and then almost got a win in Silverstone. He was very unlucky, Leclerc. A lot of his races, I think, went under the radar quite a lot.
Yes, yeah.
He just finished I think he got like three or four fourth places.
Well,
in a row.
Leclerc's banging races were always when the top four were there, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was the thing. Yeah. Like you look,
that happened to Hulk back in the day all the time.
We've given Leclerc a lot of stick this year, but he could have easily been sort of third or fourth place in the championship. Had a lot more races gone his way.
Maybe not third, but yeah, up there.
Fourth
for sure.
At least. He was only what 31 behind Perez, and you think 25
definitely
if that comes
ahead
from
of his
Monaco.
Teammate, which everyone's laughing at him for. Yeah. But to be fair, Leclerc, as much as we like science in his podcast, Leclerc is definitely the better driver.
Leclerc is definitely the faster driver.
Yeah. But science just binned it in practice and then got away with it all the time.
That's the whole point. Well, Leclerc does that as well, mate. Let's be fair. But then Leclerc also bins it in qualifying.
Yeah, I think. Leclerc is definitely the more potential world champion, in my opinion.
And Leclerc is the one that's groomed to be a Formula One world champion at the end of the day.
Yeah, but Sainz, he did an incredible job this year, so we rate him.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm intrigued to see what Ferrari do with that lineup if they build a really strong car down the line.
According to you, wasn't it the best lineup on the grid?
I would still argue that. Right now, Ferrari have got the best lineup heading into 2022.
We've got a big Charles Leclerc fan over here.
Nope, so I just love me some science. No, I just look through and I think they're the only team with two drivers that I genuinely believe could battle for a world championship. Maybe Mercedes.
I Mercedes probably could, depending on how Russell...
Exactly. It's the only team that I could say now with confidence.
Yeah.
But they'd obviously completely go about it very different ways. Leclerc would be the Senna, Sainz would be the Prost.
Yeah.
But there we go. So
you got more points than me.
Four versus six so far. Two more teams to go, Jamie.
No, you're wrong. It's two versus four.
Two versus four, sorry, yeah.
Spoiled the final.
I have spoiled the final scores there, haven't I? Who do you think you picked for P2?
I'm going to go ahead and say it was Red Bull.
You're right. It was Red Bull.
So, yeah, and you put the same, which means that I didn't beat you.
Nope.
And you beat me 6-4.
I did beat you 6-4.
I can accept that.
Like a proper... Boxing Day football match.
Not far away, only 6-3, but almost. Yeah, I think it was probably the most, it was quite obvious at the start of the season, or even in pre-season testing, that, we could tell the way Red Bull go about things, they're much more about Verstappen than they are about the team.
Yes.
Whereas Mercedes are much more about the team. So even though we sort of hoped and thought that Red Bull might have a car capable of challenging, it still was fairly obvious to me, at least, that the Mercedes was a more consistent team, because they're obviously going to be sacrificing their second driver at all times at Red Bull, which was fairly common. It wasn't as common as I thought, and Perez did a better job than...
There wasn't so many situations where they could, were they?
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, Perez was pretty average, actually, until those three podiums in a row late on. You obviously got the win in Baku, podium at France.
Yep.
And then his next podium was what? Round 16 or something in Turkey, I want to say, or maybe one before Turkey.
Was it Turkey or did Leclerc get a podium
Turkey,
there? No, Leclerc
Turkey,
didn't,
USA,
did he?
Mexico, he got three in a row.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was fairly average most of the season and then suddenly became good in Abu Dhabi and screwed Hamilton, so we love it. but yeah, I think Red Bull second, Mercedes first was fairly obvious in the start of the season. I think you've got to be pretty bold to predict anyone other than Mercedes to win after seven in a row.
Got alarmingly close towards the end of the year, though.
It was
Mexico,
actually.
There was what, like 1 point in it or 3 points
yeah,
in it, wasn't
much.
There at one point.
Yeah, and Bottas underperformed and had quite a lot of reliability. Bad luck this season.
But again, they were basically just setting Bottas up to work out what kind of a chili-powered engine they could run in the last few races.
Yeah. When they were just giving engine pens every week.
Exactly.
So they could get away with it.
Exactly.
And it almost worked.
It almost worked. It's a shame Michael Massey had other plans. You know, that Red Bull money under the table. But yeah, we'll see next year. We'll see next year. Jamie, before we finish, though, first of all, congratulations. You were useless at predicting things this year. For someone, for being on the Knowing Wheel podcast, you need at least 7
you know
out
what?
Of 10 next year.
4 out of 10. At university, that's a pass.
That is
so
alarming.
Yeah, I'll graduate the predictions with a third class degree.
What do I get with 6 out of 10?
That's a 2-1. Well done.
Oh, look at that. I got 2-1. I'm going to put that on my CV, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a 2-1 in my own podcast. Yeah, how do I get another 2 on the end?
2-2 is worse than a 2-1.
So. No, I want a 2-1-2. That's what I want.
Oh, well, that doesn't exist, unfortunately.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
going to
make it
university.
Happen. I'm going to make my own university, I've decided. But quickly, Jamie, before we finish off this week's podcast, again, the last podcast we do in 2021, the last podcast we do before major rule changes, if you had to recommend to someone right now any race from the turbo hybrid era to go back and watch, what race
Ooh.
Would you say?
You set me off on one there.
I really have.
Wow.
I was going to do a top 10 races of the turbo hybrid era.
You've sprung me on that big time.
Yeah,
so
I know. Because I'm just thinking back.
Depends who you're a fan of.
But
if you've plenty that I like.
If you go back through years, like I'm just thinking like iconic races. 2014 was
Bahrain,
Hungary,
and that was kind of it. There wasn't massive that many good races. Obviously, it's a
Canada had some drama.
Like. Yeah, yeah, it was a good title battle as well. Actually, I watched back Germany in 2014. That was fairly good. F1 TV.
I almost bought an F1 TV subscription yesterday.
I
might have to go through
my mum's car's still on it, so I might just buy one. But yeah, they're the good ones. 2015, Hungary was up there straight
Hungary,
away.
Hungary was up there again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd still argue COTA was.
COTA was a good race, yeah.
Despite Rosberg throwing a temper tantrum. Red Bull being right there
almost
all day.
Got a podium and then crashed into Ricciardo. There's a fun fact.
Yep.
Spoiler, sorry, he didn't get a podium, but you probably knew that.
Only you could try and give a spoiler for a race that happened six years ago.
My mind, obviously, what I said is depends on who you're a fan of. One of my favourite races to watch back is Malaysia 2016.
Wasn't
it was actually really good.
Wasn't actually a particularly good race though, was it, if I remember correctly?
It was. Rosberg had to come back through the field. The Red Bulls were battling all race, and then that was for the win. Rosberg did a cracking move on Raikkonen. And got a penalty for it, which was rubbish. But yeah, I like that race. 2016 was generally really good. Like, not only saying that as a
2016 did have quite a few bangers, didn't it?
Yeah, like the three tire rule was brought in that year, and everyone loved it.
Yeah. So, apart from the qualifying in the opening two races.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
I watched back a couple of days ago, like Pascal Wehrlein getting like P15 at Bahrain.
Oh,
back
yeah.
when Manor had hope.
When they were rockets in the straight line.
I miss Manor, man. Honestly.
Julian Palmer's on the grid back then.
Yep, he was. Because I was going to say, probably the best race of all time
Singapore
was about lap
actually.
22 Singapore 2017.
You know what? Hulk was actually getting a podium in that race, and I'm really annoyed about it.
Because
still.
He ran out of air.
Yeah, his car just broke on him when he was beating Bottas in a 2-hour long
yeah,
race.
Yeah, but so was Wehrlein.
Wehrlein, Bottas was fourth.
Oh, was
he? Podium.
Not Wehrlein, yeah. even Julian Palmer.
No, Palmer just overtook him at the start, but then he got back past. But yeah, everyone praises Sainz massively for coming fourth when Hulk was going to come third. I'm fuming.
Yep.
But yeah.
2018 Germany.
2018, yeah, Germany was decent. It's slightly overrated, I think, because it was kind of dead until Vettel crashed, and then we had a fake.
Should we argue one of the Baku 17 or 18?
Baku 17 was mental. I remember people saying that at the time. People were saying it's like the best race ever. Germany 2019, as much as it pains me, because another Hulk podium got
that is a very good shout, even though Germany Hamilton had a shitter as well.
Yeah, it was an excellent race, though. Very, very good.
Yeah, because that was the one where Alfa Romeo got penalised after the race, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Hamilton managed to scrape a point, and so did Robert Kubica.
Yes, so. Yeah.
But no, I remember at the end of the decade, that was voted race of the decade, even though it shouldn't have been.
No, Canada 2011.
But a race I was at live was Austria 2019. Very, very good. I recommend that. Or Brazil 2019. I also recommend that. Basically, any race Verstappen wins before 2021 is probably really good.
Yeah, Brazil 2019 was a good one. Austria 2019 was a good one. I'm trying to... Because we had a few crazy races in 2020 as well, didn't we?
We did, but they weren't crazy because they were exciting. They were just crazy because everyone crashed.
Yeah, yeah.
So
come on,
yeah,
then.
I would...
Final verdict.
My favourite. What would I say? I would probably say Germany 19. But that race made me upset for like a week. I didn't want to think about F1. Just imagining Hulk in the barrier at that soapbox last quarter.
Fair enough.
What a terrible
Fair
time.
Enough.
But 2014, I recommend a lot as well.
Yes.
Some good races
yeah.
in that. Bahrain especially. I haven't watched back Bahrain yet since the time because another Hulk podium got away. So there's a common theme there, actually.
There is a common theme, isn't there? Great races
podiums.
And Hulk bottling it.
Yes, I smile through the pain.
You
but
do.
It's all over now.
You do. So if you're saying the best race to go back and watch from the turbo hybrid era is the 2019 German Grand Prix.
I would say so.
You heard it here, folks. Anything else to add from you then, Jamie?
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's been Christmas and I got a new thing that I wanted to show to the camera.
Here's Jamie's new thing. I'm doing the wrong way because our webcam's...
I can't even
see what Jamie's showing you. For all I know, this is going to be wildly inappropriate.
Max Verstappen winning the world championship.
Fair enough. I'm sure someone's not going to meme that because I'm just going like this and you're holding something up.
Oh, yeah. People, do whatever you want. Put pictures of anything on there and tweet it to us.
Please don't.
Please.
Oh, God. But, yeah, anything else before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so.
No,
it's been a good year of Knowing Wheel.
It I'm has, sure. Yeah, the Knowing Wheel podcast. We've got a
Everyone
name.
Everyone feels informed of the wheel.
Exactly. Everyone now knows Wheel thanks to us.
Yep.
Of course, we'll be back in the early next year. We'll be back early next year with more podcasts, of course. Don't quite know exactly what yet we've got planned, but we've got plenty of exciting things as we roll up, build up slowly towards 2022 F1, of course, going back through the news, of course. We'll be back with testing liveries and pre-season reveals and all this, that, and the other. The stewards room as well. We definitely need to kick off before the start of the new year. But thank you all so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, do make sure to leave a like and get yourself subscribed as well. I'm still working. I'm desperately trying to get this podcast on other platforms as well. It's not something I've forgotten about. I am still trying to plug away behind the scenes. But yeah, we'll be back very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.